Well, hello, and today's men's fraternity for winning at work and home is a session entitled Improving Your Sex Life. And I'm working through the notes that have been put together for this study, and I think it's very helpful for us as men to talk about this subject. The Bible doesn't shy away from it. You think about religious books and holy books, and sometimes this topic is looked at as something that is bad, but actually sex is a gift of God in its proper parameters. You think about a fire. In a fireplace, it's a beautiful thing, but if it gets out of the boundaries of that fireplace, it can become a dangerous thing. You think of a river, and it's a beautiful thing, but if out of its parameters, it goes over its banks, it can do much damage. And that's what's happened with this subject, with this reality in our lives. And so let's just work through this together and talk about this as a subject that is very, very important. We move down through the notes here. Men, women, and sex. And the whole idea of thinking about sex, there's differences. The statistics say women think about it one time a day, men 33 times a day. And I would venture to say that in our culture, that number has jumped with all the different things that are out there that are grabbing our attention, both for men and women. The question is, how do you manage your sexuality? If it's mismanaged, it can lead to some definite problems. Is it WMD or a WMG? It could be a weapon of mass destruction, but if it's managed, it could be a wonderful masculine gift. And from the get-go, I want to say that sex is best managed in the boundaries of marriage. And so if you're a single young man, and you're listening to this talk and it's entitled Improving Your Sex Life, you would listen to it and think, I can grab these same principles. I'm going to encourage you to hold to the biblical standard, which is sex outside the boundaries of marriage is not honoring to God. And that's a bunch of different realms that could fall into. But sex is to be between a man and a woman in the boundary of a married relationship. And the Song of Solomon, the Bible talks about this. The Song of Solomon is an entire book about the beauty of sex and marriage. And then the book of Proverbs says this, chapter 5, verse 19, let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. And so that's from the Bible. And so God has given this gift. And so the challenge today for single men is that this is for future reference. The principles that I'm giving you, that these are things that are supposed to be for those that are in a covenanted marriage relationship. And so I want to encourage you toward that end. Secondly, what every husband wishes his wife understood. Under A, my sex drive is powerful, persistent, and normal. And men are wired toward the need for sex. And it's they're created by God that way, that he shouldn't feel guilty or bad about the fact that he desires to have sex with his wife. That's a beautiful thing. And sex, under B, sex is to me, this is under what every husband wishes his wife understood, sex is to me what affection is to you. It's a number one need. The average man needs sex at least two times a week. And that may sound like a lot to some. That may sound like not very much to others. And in marriage, as time goes by, this can be rationalized or this can be put to the side. And I understand with children, age, different things that are out there, things that are going on, busyness, pressure, there's this part that would say that those numbers aren't realistic. But I want to encourage you that sex in marriage, it should be in that place. You think about all the people that are out there that, and I obviously we don't know, but people that are out there, the media portrays it, people that are not in the bonds of marriage that are having sex. And then you think about in marriage, a lot of times the couples that aren't having sex, and that sends up a red flag. The people that should be having sex sometimes aren't having sex, and the people that shouldn't be having sex are having sex. And so God has given us this gift. And so wives, husbands wish that you would understand this. And one empowers the meeting of the other. What I mean by that is as you look at the chart, there's a chart here, and there's sex would be in that blank at the top and an arrow moving toward the right. When a man receives sex, he feels close to his wife, and that leads him to want to give her, hopefully, affection, which would be in the line at the bottom of the page. And then that would make her feel close to him, which would allow her to want to give sex to her husband. And obviously sex for her and affection for him and her and all of those things, they're for each other. But sometimes it seems that a man wants sex while a woman wants affection. And the problem is that if he doesn't get sex, he'll hold back affection. And if she doesn't get affection, she'll hold back sex. And it becomes a weapon. And so the question is, who moves first? It's almost like the chicken and the egg. Are you, as a man, willing to give your wife affection, even if at certain points she isn't giving you sex? That's the rub. That's the deal. And so I want to encourage you to not think of it as, I'm going to give only when I get. Kevin Lehman talks about the fact that most women underestimate the sex drive of a man. And so, anyways, let's keep moving. See, sex for me is a grand oasis in the midst of everyday life. It's a place where I can escape and still experience a moment of pure fun. It's like the Beatles when they were talking in that song, and they said, "All my troubles seem so far away." For a man to come home to eventually be with his wife in this way, it is an amazing thing for a man to be received in this way, to be able to give in this way, and that he can know that this is the place where he can feel safest. It's just a beautiful thing. It goes on here, D, satisfying sex reassures me in my manhood. You see, we as men are performers, and to know that she is satisfied, to know that she is happy and content with the man that she's been married to here, it's just a great thing. And as we grow older and as we venture into this area of life, as time goes by, it becomes less about what we get out of it and more about what we give and her response. And so we are performers, and we would love to have this be a reassurance in our manhood. And then E, real sexual fulfillment for me is impossible unless I can sexually fulfill you. And that is so true, that for a man, after a while, it doesn't become, it's less about himself and it's more about how is she feeling. I like this quote from Ed Wheat in his book Intended for Pleasure. He says, "Some people have felt uncomfortable about sex because they somehow equate the sexual desire of men with the sexual drive of animals. They should remember that animals breed according to instinct with biological motivation, but man uses reason in choosing to have sexual relations. He is the only creature that has intercourse as a whole person. Husband and wife are the only creatures capable of gaining spiritual unity and a deeper knowledge of each other through the sexual relationship. Let us realize how the bodies of men and women are designed. Even in the sex act itself, we are reminded that this is a relationship of persons, not just bodies. For it is no coincidence that man is the only creature of God's creation who relates sexually face to face." So, something to remember. Well, point number three, before play, the feminine Viagra. A, key principle, husbands need sex to feel close to their wives, but wives need daily closeness to feel like having sex with their husbands. Now, I want you to understand that as we work through this together, this getting these principles and getting these ideas and working through what we're talking about today, we have to understand that our hearts have to have pure motives. And that's hard sometimes because we want what we want. But I want to stress to you that if we are working down through this list of things to basically get what we want, that will be very evident. If we're loving just so that we get something in return, that motive will be picked up after a while. I can't stress that enough, okay? So point number B, or point letter B, everyday ways to keep your wife excited about sex with you. Number one, reassure her with words and displays of affection. And this is not just when you want some, okay? This is not just when, hopefully, by the end of the day, you're checking off all these boxes and you're hoping that at the end of the day, this should be the result. I'm going to keep stressing that we're doing this because we husbands love your wives, okay? We want love, a wife wants love, a man wants respect, okay? But is that chicken and egg thing? Am I willing to do this because it's the right thing to do and allow the Lord to take care of the rest, okay? So reassure her with words and displays of affection. Two, daily practice the romance of one small sacrifice, okay? Are you willing to give up certain things to communicate it isn't about you? Throughout the day, starting in the morning. Three, give her regular, focused attention. I mean, for you to think that all day you've not shown any attention, shown any affection, I understand we're busy, but then you get into the bedroom and then you slip into bed, and then after a day where you haven't shown any attention and immediately want something to happen along those lines. Can you see how selfish that is? Number four, speak her love language often. Not just your love language, because you're trying to get her to give you back your love language. What is her love language? Is it words of encouragement? Is it gift giving? Is it quality time? Is it acts of service? What is it? And then being willing to give that to her often. Number five, surprise her with a gift out of the ordinary. And this doesn't have to be something big. It could be just a little. It could be a note. It could be something that you would look at and go, that's not that big of a deal. But for her, you know her. It would bring back a memory of when you were first dating. It just be a great thing to do. Number six, surprise her by initiating something she likes to do. Isn't that a great idea? Is that I'm going to actually do something that she likes to do. And it's all the stuff you did when you were dating. Now think about that. When you were dating, when you were trying to get her attention, when you were making the effort to show her that you loved her, what did you do? What efforts did you make? You were somewhat romantic. Do that again. Surprise her. And she might be thinking, boy, he's trying to do something. Who cares? Yeah, okay. But make the effort. Initiate, okay? Number seven, stay actively involved in loving your children. If you've got kids, you loving your kids, her kids, your kids, it communicates to her, wow, he's invested. And it just speaks volumes about you. And number eight, keep your relationship free of unresolved conflict. Boy, that's just important. I mean, if you think about it, that if you've got this conflict, it is really difficult. And you know that even for yourself as a man. The things that are going through your mind. You know you'd hate it if all day she's been interesting in how she's treated you. You've been felt very disrespected. There's no interest in the sexual act with someone like that. It would never be that way. So what about how you're treating her, okay? And if there's any unresolved conflict, don't sidestep that. Deal with it. Letter C. The above is the beginning point of sex for every wife. If you want things to come alive at night, you've got to die a little during the day. That just makes so much sense, is that you're willing to die to yourself. If you're willing to not make it about you. And we'll just keep going here. Roman numeral 4, how to help your wife enjoy sex with you. A, start with the perspective that my wife and I are not at the same place sexually, okay? Number one, many wives enter marriage sexually inexperienced. That is the case a lot of times. Sometimes they know more than you'd think they know, but for the most part, especially with you, and you've desired to keep yourselves pure before God. Whatever the case, you coming together with your wife, you're just getting to know one another. And so definitely inexperienced with you. Number two, many husbands enter marriage believing his wife enjoys sex at the same level he does. Let's just get that myth put aside. It just isn't the case. And the beauty of this is that we learn together, okay? We learn together. We're not thinking that I have to be an expert right off. So much in our pornified culture has made it so that everybody seems to have to be an expert. And the beauty of the marriage relationship, the sexual relationship in marriage, is we're discovering each other and what each other likes. And another thing to remember too is as the years go by, the sexual needs, the sexual excitement, all those things change. So our bodies change. What would please us changes. And so to have that understanding, instead of thinking we'll always be the same, we'll always like this, that might be, but for the most part, we're changing. And so we're learning together, and we're giving and taking, and we're willing to learn. And so let's keep going here. B, keep the perspective that arousal is the key to your wife's sexual experience with you. And a simple formula to remember is this. Arousal for you is about 10 seconds. Arousal for her, it's about 10 points. And if you remember on an earlier podcast when we were talking about this, the points thing is how you look at the things throughout the day that communicate your love. A gift, a text, a card, a an act of love. Those are points, and there's different points to it that your wife has in her brain on what that looks like. A look across the room. It's you and I as men. We arousal isn't difficult for the most part, just because of how we're wired. But for a woman, it's a whole different ballgame. Letter C, establish a track record of being safe in bed. What I mean by that is, number one, never force anything. Does she feel safe? That's so, so important. Trust. Number two, stay pain-free. If this is hurting, it's not good. Okay. Number three, know what she likes and what she doesn't. And that comes through time. Number four, don't rush on overly concentrate on hot spots. Don't be in a hurry during sex. And in the counsel that is from some different books that have explained all of these things, it's such a tendency of men to think, she seems to be enjoying this, I'll really concentrate on this area, not realizing this isn't a race. For men, we're like microwaves. For women, they're like crockpots. And taking the time and not being in a hurry and enjoying that time together. Number five, use words to compliment and reassure. Don't ever criticize. There is no place for criticism in the bedroom. There's no place for criticism in the sexual act. You wouldn't like it. It would not encourage you at all. So no place for that. Roman numeral five, some final thoughts. You are the keeper of your sex life, okay? Number one, you get what you give. Number two, initiate conversation about your sexual needs with each other outside the bedroom. Don't wait to get in the bedroom and then you start a whole list of those things. It wouldn't be helpful. Number three, keep growing in your sexual understanding and insight. Great books are available to read together. Okay. Number four, don't sell out to fantasy. The things that are out there in our culture, and you know what I'm talking about. For a woman, it could be Harlequin romance. It could be Hallmark Channel. For a man, all that bad stuff that's out there. Don't sell out to fantasy. The real thing is better than fantasy. Number five, seek outside help for sexual roadblocks that you can't work through. If there's a problem, it is not out of line to talk to somebody about it, because this is an important issue. And what ends up happening is, outside of those things, we can head to something very, very stupid because we think that'll be the thing that fixes us instead of seeking biblical help, good help. That the marriage that you're in, God has that for you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Letter B, remember the best sex is not just an act. It is two lives in community. And this sex will grow richer and more satisfying with time. Believe it. The couples that I've talked to that are older, and you know that they have been together for a long time. And there's couples you've seen that have been together for a long time that you don't want a relationship like theirs. There's nothing impressive about it at all. But there's others you know, and they're trustworthy, and you could talk to them. If they'd be willing, couple and couple talking, it could be very insightful to understand that these things don't happen by accident. And nobody's relationship is perfect. And those older couples have worked through a bunch of stuff. And so understand that if you're having any struggles, any problems, know you're not the first to have had that. Well, questions for your small group. Were there any aha moments for you today? and could you explain that? Number two, what is one move you could make to improve your sex life after listening to today's session? Explain that. Is there number three, is there any insight you could add to this discussion that was not mentioned today, but that would be helpful to the group? And explain that. And then number four, what is your one practical takeaway from today's session? And then explain that. Take care, my brothers.